Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast featuring special guests talking about how they reveal God during the ordinary rhythm of their daily life. Presented by author and speaker Sharon Tedford.
My guest today experienced the family tragedy that led her to see faith in Jesus in a whole new way. She's learned the value of full surrender to God and now helps others find hope and freedom in Christ. My guest, One Day Closer Ministries founder, Becky Carpenter. I love it when I can introduce you to somebody who I actually know and who is my real life friend, and that is Becky.
Hello, everybody, and hello to my beautiful friend.
It's really great to have you. Tell everybody where you are. Double down on where you are. Tell us not just your town, but where you actually are today.
Well, that's fun. I live in East Texas, and I am sitting talking to you in a barn. It doesn't get much more Texas than that. I don't have animals in here with me because that would mess up the sound.
Tell us, why on earth are you sitting in a barn, Becky?
Well, we have property here in East Texas, and we are actually building a home. And so our temporary place of residence is inside a converted shop that we've made into a little apartment. We call it the barn house.
And will it still be a barn house once you have the real house built? Will this be like a guest spot?
For sure it's going to be a barn house, but you're always welcome in our barn.
I'll feel like Mary, but not that I'm giving birth. Don't freak out. Don't worry about that. Becky, it's great to have you. And as you know, because you've listened to our podcast, we ask every guest to share a reflection on Isaiah chapter 61 and how that influences your day-to-day life and how that helps you bring the kingdom to other people. So have you written something for us that you can share?
I have. Isaiah 61 is a beautiful Old Testament glimpse into our coming hope, the future glory pointing to the future fulfillment of setting us free, and how he holds the brokenhearted. Isaiah is assuring us God will continue what he started, his redemption plan, the prophecy of the coming Messiah. I also love how Isaiah 61 begins with saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." And yet, when we fast forward because of Jesus and accepting his salvation, we are gifted the experience of having the Spirit of the Lord in us. What a gift to have the Holy Spirit residing inside of us, to do what Isaiah prophesied, to go and proclaim the good news to all, to the brokenhearted, to folks like me and you. When Scripture says to proclaim the good news to the poor, this reference isn't to those with a lack of monetary wealth. It's the lack of divine dimes, to put it in Becky's language. Those who are truly poor lack the abundant blessing we are gifted because of our King Jesus. So we need to pour out his truths to all people so they can experience true wealth, an up-close and personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the extra change that comes along with this wealth alongside of eternal life with Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We all need a big old dose of those sweet fruits.
Thank you for sharing that, Becky. Could you tell us a little bit more about what you mean around the phrase that God uses the broken to heal the broken?
Well, I guess I'm living proof of that. Our family has been through a family tragedy, and what he has done as a result of that is birthed a ministry where I'm able to and always honored to talk about all the things that he has done in our personal story, in hopes that it will also impact and lead others to him.
So can you tell us a bit more about your story and how God has unfolded his hope in your life through tragedy?
Yeah, sure. I was an educator for 25 years. My husband and I, we have two beautiful daughters. And at this particular time in the school business, we were very busy. My oldest daughter had just graduated and gone off to college down at Texas A&M. And my youngest daughter was a sophomore there in the same high school campus where I was the assistant principal. And we were just doing all the things that a young family with two very active kids do. We were just living life. Then in an instant, everything changed. My youngest daughter, her name is Skylar. She was very active in all kinds of extracurricular activities, and with her personality, anything that got her out of the normal school day and out of class, she wanted to be a part of it. So one of her extracurricular activities was being a part of the FFA group, which is Future Farmers of America here in Texas, and they were going to go off to a competition that was about 7 hours away from where our school was. And she had asked me, she said, "Mom, I don't want you to go on this trip," because her older sister had just graduated and went off to college, and now she was just getting to live her life as a high school student without her older sister, like, watching out for her. And so I told her I'd let her go without me chaperoning, because that was one of the perks of being in the school business. And then that morning, I went down to the agriculture shop where the kids were loading up for this trip, and I was doing what I always do. I was hugging on her and trying to embarrass her. And I said, "Skylar, are you sure you don't want Mom to go on this trip?" And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, "Mom, I can make this trip on my own." And those were Skylar's last words, because a phone call came in to our school office that the kids had been in an accident, and I arrived on the scene to find out that the one student fatality was my own 15-year-old daughter. So that's when my life flipped upside down. And that particular tragedy is when everything I thought about, that I knew about my faith and my relationship with Jesus, really elevated to a whole different level.
I'm so sorry for your loss, first of all, Becky. I know that is so difficult to deal with. Can you help us see what those steps to newness were from that moment of deep brokenness to where you are today? I know that's been a long time, but where has God revealed himself to you through your grief journey?
Well, it started that day. It's interesting, because if I look back at my faith walk pre-tragedy, because I look at the tragedy as a bookmark in my life. It was like who I was before that day, and then who I am becoming after that day. I would consider myself, looking back, that I was very complacent in my own faith journey. Even though I accepted Jesus as my personal savior at the age of 19, and my husband and I and my daughters, we were all very active in church. My husband led worship, I taught Sunday school, we were active in the kids' youth. But that day, Sharon, I realized up close and personal that there's a big difference between running to church and running to Jesus, because he was there with me. From the time I got the phone call in the school and I went out to my car and I turned on the car to head to this scene that was about 45 minutes away, a song came on the radio. And there's just so much power in worship music. You know that as someone who's a worship leader. And the song was "Light Up the Sky," and the lyrics to that song is "Light, light, light up the sky, light up the sky, and know that I am with you." And I felt him just reaching into that car as if he was with me through that song, because that was a very personal song. It wasn't just the lyrics. It was my daughter Skylar's favorite song. Her nickname was Sky. And so when I headed to that drive, even when I arrived, and that scene was just so chaotic, and you had just a row of cars and emergency vehicles and a lot of onlookers, and I see these other vehicles that belong to our school, and then I see the vehicle that my daughter was in, and it was upside down on the side of the road, and there was just this horrific debris field. I sat in the car, and what happened next is what changed everything for me. I looked down at my hands, and my knuckles were white on the steering wheel, and I just cried out to God, and I said, "I can't do this." And just as I'm talking to you, I heard so loudly in my spirit this tender voice of confidence, but of like he was compassionate, and he said, "I'm here." And even to this day, when I tell this story, it's like the hair on the back of my neck stands up, because I knew he was there. I was able to get out of that car. I was able to walk across the street, because I wasn't just my Skylar's mom. I was those kids' principal, all those teenagers who were involved in something horrific. And the way he used that moment that I have no memory of, I only know what the other adults in that scene told me later. I was able to speak some life into those teenagers that had just witnessed this horrific tragedy. And I can't take credit for any of that because there's no way I would have been able to make anything audible based on what I knew when I got out of the car, because I knew at that point that my daughter had already run into heaven. So how he showed up was from the moment it happened, and I've literally felt his presence every single day since, because every day we think about our kids. Every day, you know, we want to talk to our kids. We want to be a part of their life. And he's just allowed me to elevate everything I knew about who he is. Even though I had that personal, intimate relationship, he showed up in a way that is almost somebody who's a speaker and a writer. It's very hard for me to even articulate how present he was that day.
Thank you for sharing that so intimately with us. There's a lot of truth in what you say, that we just need to cry out to God in those moments that's so difficult. Now, Becky, your story tragically mirrors an event that happened at the beginning of October 2023 in the UK, leaving parents and families reeling from grief after a school bus tragedy there. I just would love some advice from you. If we know someone who's walking through the grief of losing a child, where do we even start bringing them the hope of Jesus?
Well, you know, if you look at Scripture, he tells us everything to do, and he keeps it so simple, Sharon. And I think as humans, I certainly have been guilty of this, we try to make things so complicated. The best advice, and I have the honor to work with and minister to a lot of bereaved moms, the best advice I can give people who are walking alongside those who are grieving the loss of a child is to be present. Because he tells us in his word, love God and love others. And that's what being present looks like when you are so broken and so hurt and so disoriented, because the loss of a child is out of order. Our humanness cannot even comprehend how that is even possible. And if it happens, how we can even survive it ourselves. So we're not in a state of mind, especially, and I am so, so sorry to hear that from the country you're from. That is just the, you know, there's a part of me every time I hear that, or I read it, or I see it on the news, or I get a phone call because someone has a friend who's lost a child. Inside of me, it's just so empathetic because I understand the road they're about to walk. And if I can tell you anything, it's just be present in their life, be available, send those texts, send those little notes, show up, show them what love looks like, and that is being present. And it's as simple as that, but that is the most powerful thing you can do, because what happens is everybody shows up at the very beginning. So when I say be present, it's 6 months down the road. It's 6 years down the road, because you think about our children. Our children are our children, whether they're 6 months old, 6 years old, or 16 years old, all the way up to adulthood. And so dates are important. You know, the day that they were born, the day they ran into heaven, Mother's Day and holidays, all those things. There's a heaviness that we walk with. It's just, it gets elevated through certain times. And it also gets triggered in times that we're not even prepared for. So just extend a lot of grace. Be very present. Don't give advice. But your presence and your love is showing them what Jesus looks like, because he loves well. He loves unconditionally, and he loves limitlessly. He doesn't put a time on his love. And I think sometimes when you're walking in this type of heavy darkness, you know, you're very reactionary when triggers happen. And you may say things to people you care deeply about, and you may not even remember you've said it until a long time afterwards, because you're truly walking in this fog that's hard to explain unless you've experienced it. So I like to keep it simple, and I say be present. That's the number one thing that not only I've experienced, but other bereaved moms tell me. Because when you experience a loss, if you feel like the people close to you are pulling away, that's another loss. If you feel like your friendships are closing off a little bit, that's another loss in the heart of a bereaved parent. And it's nothing intentional on the other person's part. It's just sometimes people feel so uncomfortable because they don't know what to say. And so what I would say to them is, you don't have to say a thing. Just go and sit with that person. Give them your time, because that's giving them your love. And that love is Jesus's light shining through you, especially when you can also extend grace if they are reactionary. Don't take that personal. That's the grief that often surfaces, and sometimes it makes everybody uncomfortable. I can assure you, it also makes the person going through it uncomfortable after they realize they may have come across harsh with their own words or, you know, an action that didn't normally seem like them, because they are now a different person.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Becky Carpenter. Becky, I've heard you say many's a time that Skylar is in your future, not your past. Can you explain a bit more about that for us? And also talk to us about the name of your ministry, because I think those two things are wrapped up in one.
So I'll back it up a little bit. The name of our ministry is One Day Closer Ministries. And how that came about is every morning after my Skylar ran into heaven, I would just wake up and my pillow would be wet with tears. But I would just sit up and I would say, thank you, Lord, for bringing me one day closer. And he showed me, just because of his love, that I have a choice. And my choice is this: do I believe what his word really does say? Do I believe when he tells me that we're supposed to set our minds on things above, not on earthly things? Do I believe we're to focus on not what is seen, but what is unseen, because what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal? If I believe what his word says, then I know she's not in my past, she's in my future, because that's what scripture says. And she had accepted Jesus when she was 10 years old as her personal savior. So One Day Closer is keeping a forward focused perspective through the heart. And if we get up every day and we make that choice to keep moving forward, keep believing his word, keep our eyes upward, then I believe we can survive it. I mean, I'm living proof, and we're 12 years from the day that she ran into heaven. I tell people my life verse is Galatians 2:20. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Because what happened that day is all of Becky spilled out, all of me. You know, there's a scripture over in Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians. It says the old life is gone and a new life has begun, and that happens at salvation. But also, I think it happens in tragedy, because there was nothing left of me. I felt like my brokenness, it was almost as if I was broke open and all of me spilled out. And when I released all of me to him in a fully surrendered posture, that allowed him to fill me up abundantly and live that abundant life through the Holy Spirit that he has promised us. It's just I was too busy doing life and really too complacent in my own Christian walk to understand it until I was walking in this dark valley of grief and still experienced the light of Jesus even in that darkness. So One Day Closer and me saying she's not in my past, she's in my future, it kind of goes hand in hand with looking forward, looking up, leaning into his truth and his word, and totally surrendering my life to what he has for me. And out of that, that ministry has been able to reach out and help other hearts and point them towards him in a way that, you know me, Sharon, you know me on a personal level. And I'm just a real person, and I'm real broken. I have a lot of real junk. But man, I have a real Jesus, and I think he has given me the giftedness to be able to communicate him to other folks in a way that is not a King James version, okay? Because I'm East Texas, I put things in plain language because I'm just plain folks, but because I've experienced him so up close and personal, I think that's what a lot of people need to hear. They need to know he's real. He's not just sitting out in heaven waiting on us to get there. Our Christian walk is not just about salvation and getting into the kingdom. It's also getting the kingdom into us. I believe that's what we're supposed to do. You know, die to self every day. And I think that's when we really begin to experience a survival through a tragedy like this, but also an abundant life. You know, his word says that we can experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So if we believe that truth, then we've got to do our part. God's not going to do things for us that he's not already given us the ability to do for ourselves. And I think all he wants is our whole heart and let him do the rest. And I wasn't giving him my whole heart, even as a Christian, until that heart was broken. And here's what I like to say also, Sharon. I want people to experience his presence in the elevated way that I have experienced him and am experiencing him, but not have to go through what I went through to get there.
Wow, that's a really good point. You've actually been able to travel around the world sharing this real Jesus and the message of hope, haven't you? Can you tell us maybe one story that stands out in your mind where you saw God revealing himself through your full submission, your full surrender, your full obedience that you've just been talking about?
So, yeah, I've been able to go into a few different countries, and one particular instant that forever changed my dependence on him, I went on a mission trip to Honduras, and literally going there to serve children inside of different school settings. And as we were there, I had a American lady who worked there came up to me, and she said, "You're supposed to talk to these teenagers." Now, keep in mind, I had no idea that was something Becky had planned for, because I had no knowledge of it. And she had already told the principal that the Lord told her I was about to speak to those teenagers. So in nervous obedience, I guess you could say, I took the mic, and through an interpreter, because I don't speak Spanish, I was able to share about hope. And I shared about my daughter, Skylar, and how she was just a normal kid. And then the tragedy happened and she was called into heaven. But I shared about her faith and how she loved Jesus. And through an interpreter, I saw the movement of the Holy Spirit, because this interpreter expressed so much powerful emotions when she was talking to them in their heart language. I knew it was the power of the Holy Spirit, because Becky was completely caught off guard. And I watched these kids, broken, coming in prayer and accepting salvation in that moment, in that instant, which was not prepared. You know, and I'm an educator by trade, in that business for 25 years. So I'm sitting there just broken also, watching these teenagers who are in a country filled with darkness because of trafficking and drugs and all the things that they are exposed to every day in this particular part of Honduras. And these children just poured their hearts out to the Lord and gave their lives. So that's one of many instances that I could go through, but for the sake of time, that's probably where I saw him show up, through somebody unprepared, broken, caught off guard, through an interpreter in a different language to teenagers, completely the Holy Spirit.
Unprepared, caught off guard, all those things that happen to all of us when God asks us to share his truth with somebody, when we're standing in the queue at Walmart, or you're getting on a train on the way to Dallas to go to work, that God asks us in those moments when we feel unprepared. And yet we go back to the very first thing that he said to you, "I am right here. I am with you." And we need to move in obedience through that. You've talked a little bit about how you were an educator, and I'd love for you to maybe talk to people who are still in education right now. It's tricky in different countries. Do you have ideas and thoughts about how people who work in school can reveal God to their students?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, you know, we don't have to check our faith at the door of school buildings. Secular entities will tell you that. That's simply not true, because I do believe that God puts a hedge of protection around all of us who are a voice for the kingdom. And you know, it's interesting, because there's a scripture that says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence," and he's going to give us the words. I'm going to get a little redneck East Texas scenario. When I was in the school business, I do things and did things for years. It was called Sneaky Jesus. And understand, I was an assistant principal on a high school campus, so I had the pleasure and the honor of being the disciplinarian when kiddos got in trouble. And just for the record, I've never ever met a bad teenager. I have met a whole lot who have made bad choices. But in my office, I always played Christian music. It was down low. An example, a young man got in a fight and he's elevated and he comes into my office and he's using language that's probably not school appropriate or anywhere appropriate.
It's not in the Bible.
It's not. Nope. It's not in that King James Version. I would turn that music up a little bit and I'd give him time. I'd say, "Hey, there's some sodas in the refrigerator. I'm going to step out and I'll be back as soon as you calm your crazy. And then we're going to talk about what happened." And so I know educators that play Christian music lightly in the background, because God's word never returns void. And our Christian artists, they are recording his word. So I say any opportunity that you can allow and apply Sneaky Jesus, they're going to notice. And I'll use Skylar as an example. She was a kid. She did not walk the hallways with a Bible in her hand. Yet she made a big difference on her peers because of the way she loved them. And after the tragedy, there were so many young people that would come up to me, and because my last name is Carpenter, they always called me Miss C, and they'd say, Miss C, what made Skylar different? But then, after the tragedy also, they would say, Miss C, how are you surviving losing Skylar? And so those open dialogues, I do believe when teachers, and we had a whole building full of really good Christian teachers, when they share and show the love of Jesus, they're going to know you're different. And when a student asks questions like that, that opens up a dialogue that you absolutely are able to bring him into the conversation. And that's not laying a Bible on your desk. That's not pushing your faith on them. But if you love those kids, those students unconditionally, like I know every adult that's in education should be doing, it's going to open up those dialogues. They're going to want to know why it is that you can have a smile on your face, that you can walk in hard days and you still love well. Because again, it goes back to love God, love others. And I think he works out all the details of the rest.
Thank you for saying all those things. I think people listening are going to want to hear more of your story. And thankfully, very soon, they're going to be able to do that by reading the book that you've written that's coming out soon. Can you talk to us about that, please?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I didn't expect to be a writer, and yet God has a sense of humor, and he tends to use people in areas and in fields that they're not comfortable in. And that, for me, it's writing. But he surrounded me with some amazing women authors, and I've just been a sponge learning the craft and yielding to what the Holy Spirit wants other hearts and other ears to hear. And so he birthed in me a book immediately after the tragedy, and I started journaling and noting some of the really cool things that he was doing in the midst of those dark days. He just showed up. And so it just fast forward through the years. I always tended to put the book down, put the writing down because of my own insecurities, spiritual warfare. When God is at work, Satan shows up. So all those things that prevent you from doing the calling that he's pulling you into. And so as it would have it, he did align me with certain people, and his hand has been in this book from the very beginning. And so the book is One Day Closer, Finding Hope Through the Hard. And it's not a book about grief. It's not a book about tragedy. It's a book about his light and his glory and the transformation that can be made. So I feel like because of him, this book is going to help hearts really understand hope, really understand healing through Jesus. And if one heart can be changed because of reading this book, then I've done my part, and I'm humbled to be a part of something that he's placed in me for years, and now it's going to come into print soon. I would predict the first part of 2024, we should be seeing this book everywhere.
Thank you. I, for one, cannot wait to read that and see all the places where you've been able to reveal God to others, even through something so, so difficult. But we will, of course, put all that on social media so that all of you listening will be able to pick it up when it's ready. So, Becky, if we want to follow you and learn more about your ministry and read your blogs and catch up with you on social media, where can we do that?
We have a couple websites. My speaker's website is beckycarpenter.net. Our ministry outreach website is onedayclosernet. And then you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. You know, I'm old school. I'm not on Twitter as much. But if you look for One Day Closer Ministries or Becky Carpenter, you'll be able to find me in the pages of the screen.
I would encourage you all to do that, because Becky posts videos sharing about what the Lord has taught her from day to day, and it's always very encouraging, and she always has a word for us to think about sharing Jesus with other people. Becky, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on today. You've helped us really think about having a forward-focused perspective, even through the hard, and reminding us to be obedient, even if that's nervous obedience, that the Lord will use us. So thanks so much for joining us today on God in the Ordinary.
Thank you, Sharon. I've really enjoyed our time together, friend.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Becky Carpenter. You can connect with Becky through her inspiring social media and on her website, onedaycloser.net.
The producer is Gary Dell, and this is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production. Go to 61-things.com to tell us how you reveal God in the Ordinary.